support. But anyway, so this next speaker, he was a once member of the Nerdalogs, one of my favorite people to write a show with ever. Part of the sketch duo Rabbit Rabbit, and Nate's gone, guys, right? Okay, Andrew, this guy's actually better at magic than Nate. I know it seems impossible. But I know, this is scandalous. Our secret Facebook group will be alight with scandal tomorrow morning. But for now, please welcome to the stage, Andrew Bentley. Yeah!
Hello, I'm Andrew Bentley. I'm not the first Andrew Bentley, and unless the whole Olympics at Zika Ground Zero thing turns out to get way out of hand, I won't be the last one either. Previous Andrew Bentleys include a race car driver, a steel magnet, a necromancer from an episode of Boris Karloff's TV anthology Thriller, and the episode The Return of Andrew Bentley. The protagonist of this Civil War novel, published in 1900, that my friend found at a thrift sale, Andrew Bentley, or How He Retrieved His Honor. And Andrew Jackson Bentley, my great-great-great-grandfather and a bastard. Not a bastard in the fashion of his presidential namesake, mind you, but a literal bastard. Andrew Jackson Bentley was born in 1834 in Ellington, New York, to Betsy Maria Bentley and an unknown father, or certainly an unadmitted father. With no verifiable paternity, Andrew Jackson took his mother's surname, and it descended from there through his son, his grandson, his great-grandson, and my father before coming to rest in fresh ink on my own birth certificate in 1987. It took that name 153 years to travel a mere 350 miles to New York City. In between, it traversed the Civil War, both World Wars, and Desert Storm unscathed. The Bentley name sped through war-torn Europe on the dark brown jacket of a motorcycle courier too young to vote, a boy who'd lied about his age to enlist. It descended by submarine to the depths of both great oceans. It endured Carolina summers and Michigan winters, and the time my dad almost poisoned me with cough syrup because he had just bought the Bard's Tale for his Apple computer and accidentally misread the dosage. And it arrived here tonight by Jeep Liberty, proudly affixed to a man who once cried in fourth grade music class because he couldn't master Song of the Sea on his recorder. And all in lieu of some other name. All born on the stubborn silence of a woman named Betsy, in her willingness to suffer the cold opprobrium of an era which viewed her sexuality as at best a lamentable beast and at worst a damnable sin. What secret could impel such martyrdom? What man could have been worth it? In a century and a half, his is not the only disappearance. The second great mystery of my family tree is Conrad Scheffler. In 1894, he gave birth to Frida, my great-grandmother. By the turn of the century, Frida had arrived in Iowa with her mother and sister, but Conrad had vanished. Like Betsy's lover, he would remain missing until the new millennium. Enter my mother and my aunt, amateur genealogists. In both cases, the modifier serves only to denote the absence of a career in the field. It does no justice to the countless hours they have spent poring through paper and microfilm and PDF, piecing together a playground of scattered wood chips into a passable family tree. For in the end, it was by their hard work that both great Bentley mysteries were finally laid to rest. In sampling our Y chromosomes and cross-referencing against an ever-expanding online database, they detected a prominent and heretofore unaccounted interloper, the Bemis family. Existing records showed a geographical convergence of Bemis and Bentley around the time of Andrew Jackson's birth, and through dogged, if undramatic, perseverance, my aunt finally procured just a few months ago the death certificate of Conrad Scheffler. Now, the Bemis and Bentley chromosomes were similar, and both families hailed from New York, but to tie that to Andrew Jackson, what was needed was a tangible connection. And as it happened, there was a laughably simple one, waiting just outside the margins of our ancestry. Betsy Maria Bentley had two sisters. While she stayed Bentley, they took their husbands' names, and those new names lay waiting in a jumbled pile of 19th century records, regarded until that moment, as two mere points of data in an infinite array of white noise. As it happened, they were the same name, for the two sisters had married two brothers. Both were named Bemis. As for Conrad Scheffler, he vanished first from society and then from this earth. On December 15, 1903, he hung himself in a Chicago prison, 2 weeks before his estranged daughter's 9th birthday. His crime is as yet undiscovered. When Betsy Bentley chose to take her family's shame upon herself, when she kept her brother-in-law's secret lest it destroy two reputations or more, she may have feared the judgment of God, but not of history. She could not have known that her son's shadow would stretch forward to an age where it might be finally illuminated by science then inconceivable. If she had, could she have done it? Or would it horrify her that we might one day wander between two possible fathers, or two motives, that we might mistake rape for passion, or vice versa? When Conrad Scheffler tied his neck to the door of his cell, could he have ever imagined that from the daughters who disowned him would someday emerge a prodigal son, carrying not his name but some piece of him, some single drop of blood, back to the city that took his life? That he would be judged once more in absence? Would he have cared? Not only are these questions impossible to answer, but from our modern vantage they are almost impossible to imagine. Barring a catastrophe so massive as to render them moot, such mysteries are now an impossibility. And what we gain in record, we lose in peace. For our sons and daughters will not be spared the bones of our secrets or the carnage of our improprieties. What might now seem consigned to shadow may one day be a matter of public record. And while our great works may echo all the greater, our misdeeds will stain as deeply. And in ignorance and anonymity, we will find no solace. Thank you.
Hey, that's all right. Andrew Bentley, everybody. He made a mess on stage, but man, can you tell a story?